There is a story told that back in the day when Sydney had two newspapers, this is before we got into all this digital stuff, and newspapers were big business, there was the Herald, owned by the Fairfax Company, and the Telegraph, owned by Clive Packer. And it is said that Mr. Packer used to pay carol singers to go around and sing Hark the Telegraph Angel Sings. Well, I don't know how true it is. I read it before the internet, so it must have been true. And yes, he was a colourful character. So he also owned Channel 9 in Sydney. And there was some show they had on, and like 10 minutes after it started, he rang them up and told them to get that crap off the air. And within minutes, it was just gone, replaced by something completely different. His word was the law. Sermon notes. Okay, I think it's Luke chapter 2. It is. Luke 2, 1 to 20. Oh, if only I could find it. The devil's been in and stirred up all these pages again. Here we go, the birth of Jesus. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. Oh, man. You might think that they put in all those names just to make things difficult when you've got to read them in church or Bible study. But Luke is trying to make a point here. This isn't just some fantastic thing that happened in the dream time or once upon a time. It's not a fairy story. This happened at a particular place in history and a particular time in history. And there's particular people involved. So he's being a historian here and saying this is something that really, really happened. And so it's important that we understand that when we read all those difficult names. Especially in Acts 2. Oh, the places those people are from. Anyway, so this was the first census, I think I read that bit already, taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He travelled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was now obviously pregnant. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no lodging available for them. Notice, it didn't happen necessarily the minute they arrived in Bethlehem, as you might have gathered from your, you know, childhood nativity plays. Like, we always have this thing that things are happening, dunk, 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 and, you know, she gets off the donkey, which doesn't even get mentioned, and into the stable, and wham, straight into labour. But no, look at what it says, while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. We don't know how long they were there, could have been several months. In fact, it was quite a long time. Anyway. That night there were shepherds staying in the field. That bit was that night of the baby being born, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Saviour, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You'll find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger." Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they'd heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. So, as I was saying to the kids earlier, Christmas is a funny thing because, in one sense, there was just this very ordinary thing of this couple having a baby that we know was destined to be our saviour. But even non-Christians, atheists, agnostics, people from other religions, everybody wants to celebrate it because there's something that goes deep in our hearts about the promise of a saviour. We know we need salvation. The giving of a baby and joy. The Coles Christmas ad, I think, really was special this year. Not like Australian ads for supermarket chains tend to be, come here and get your stuff and we'll make Christmas happy for you. But they managed to put out an ad for Coles that sort of focused on the joy of being together, which sort of got messed up a bit in the last few days, but anyway. And it rings a chord with so many people, the joy of Christmas, of being together, having a meal together, sharing together, and it all happens at Christmas. And somehow even unbelievers, even people that don't know Jesus, have got this dream, this hope for salvation, and they don't recognize what it is, and it's our job as Christians to explain to them why they're happy at Christmas or why they should be happy. Unless, of course, they're trying to install a shower screen at the Bates' place and their time was not a happy time. But, you know, there is just so much that the Christmas story is so hardwired into us that we respond to it. And even people that have rejected religion, have got want nothing to do with the church or God or Jesus or any of that stuff, they still want it. And that's why Christians are the happiest people on earth. We've got the secret. We've got the fulfillment. That's got nothing to do with what I was going to talk about, except say this, Christmas is a time of great joy and always has been, and it should be for all people. It started off really tiny in this unknown, well, it wasn't that unknown, it was a little place, not a million miles from Jerusalem. Bethlehem had become just a village. It was a place that wasn't important. It's only historical importance was it was a place where King David had been born. It was a place he came from. And so it starts off in this bit of a backwater sort of place in a country that nobody in the world really wanted to be a part of. And it's just exploded worldwide so that everybody wants to be a part of it. And as I shared a couple of Sundays ago, I think that God's message, God's purposes are often amongst the no-name people, the unknown people, the people that in the world's eyes aren't really that important. Places like Narrabri and people like you and me are the most important people in the world because we carry the message and we carry the joy. Okay, way off the topic. Anyway, that was supposed to be all about joy. My second point is this. How do we respond to the Christmas message? There are three things we need to do. Firstly, we need to obey. Mary obeyed God's command to her. I don't know if she had much choice, really, did she? But, you know, you're going to get pregnant. But her response was interesting. She didn't say, oh, no, I don't want this. Some of us do that when God calls us. I don't want to do it. No. It was, I am the Lord's servant. May it be as you have said. And I think when God tells us to go and talk to somebody, or go and serve someone, or go to a different job because, you know, he wants you to do something different, or he's got a particular person in mind that you're going to influence through being in this place rather than that place, or whatever it is, then our attitude should be that of Mary's. Oh, Lord, yes, I'll do whatever you ask me to do. And we don't always get that. But to say that Jesus is Lord is to say he's the boss. We need to obey. The shepherds obeyed too. The angels came along and said, go to Bethlehem, you'll find a baby. And the wise men, the magi, they obeyed too. They saw a star and they knew it was a sign from God. And so off they went. So let's make a decision to obey Jesus in the mundane things and the big things. Secondly, we need to trust him. The baby that we remember at Christmas time becomes the sacrifice that takes away the sins of the world. The Lamb of God, as John the Baptist describes him in John's Gospel. And so we believe that he has a plan for our lives. He's taken away our sins. Even that secret sin that you've never told anybody about. Or the one that you just can't kick. And it holds you just with tentacles. It's got its claws in. And the more you stress about it, the more you keep on doing. And God forgives even those sins. The ones we don't like admitting. And we need to trust him and to believe that the word is true, that he has set us free from our sins. And the third thing we need to do is commit ourselves to serving him. Commit ourselves to following him. Jesus' message to people when he was calling his disciples was, the kingdom of God is here, come and follow me. And we need to decide that following Jesus is the most important thing in our lives, so that he becomes the cause that we live for and the cause that we're prepared to die for. The biggest problem in our society and in the Western society generally is everybody's so wrapped up in their own lives and in being their own boss and satisfying what they want to do. But we were made for something far bigger than that. Every one of us was made to serve a higher cause, to serve something bigger than ourselves. And the biggest thing of all, of course, is Jesus. And so there are two things that we can take from that particular thing. Firstly, that we don't live like the world lives for our own pleasure and joy and edification, but that we live for Jesus. But secondly, that we show people how to live for something that is bigger than them. It's been a bit of an education having tradies in our house for the last 4 weeks, and some of them have just got no clue what their life's about. They're in their 30s. And they think it's still about partying and getting drunk on the weekend, and that's all they've got to live for. And I just think, what a waste of our life. And I'm just so thankful that God lifted me out of that destiny. But much of the world is like that, if you accept that in Narrabri, say, about 15 to 20% of the population are Christians. That leaves the other 80 to 90% of people just living for themselves and just basically making their way through 70 years of just doing what they want to do with no sense of why they're here. And man, that is a boring way to live. So let's commit ourselves to living for Jesus and for helping other people to find him as well. Lord, I thank you that Christmas is more than that bloke with the beard and the red suit. Far more than that, Lord. It's more than the presence, and it's more than everything that the world tries to attach to it. Because in the end, Lord, it's about us and you. It's about being a part of something that is bigger, way, way bigger than we could have dreamed possible. Lord, I thank you that in your grace you stepped down into the world and showed us what you're like. You stepped down into the world and you lived a perfect life and then died the perfect death that took away our sins. Lord, I pray that for each of us that would be the takeaway message. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to establish ourselves in you, to see our life's direction in you, and to see that you are the one who sets the parameters for the way, not just the way we live, but the goals that we have and the destiny that we have. That you're the one that sets the direction for the people that we influence for you, Jesus. So Lord, come and over this Christmas period, I pray you'd shake each one of us to lift us out of our overeating haze and energize us for the week ahead. And Lord, give us a sense of what your mission is for us in 2022. Thank you, Lord. Amen.